I had a choice today of readings, and of course the choice I had one was Romans 15, but it was Romans 15, 1-7, or 8-13. And so I started working on the first part of Romans, 1-7, and then changed my mind after I saw verse 13, but then changed my mind again when I saw verse 4 and 5. So this morning we're going to look at Romans 15, centering in on verses 4, 5, and 13. As we look at our text today, we see that there are three words that Paul writes that come out into this scripture passage like neon signs: endurance, encouragement, and hope. Endurance, encouragement, and hope. Paul writes, "For everything that was written in the past was written for to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." So Paul's telling us that all the Scripture has been written to give us hope, that everything written by Moses and the prophets was for the endurance and encouragement and the hope of the coming Messiah. And now everything that has been written gives us hope in the same Messiah that has come and is coming again. Then Paul makes a statement of where this endurance and encouragement comes from. He says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the spirit of unity." May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the Spirit. In other words, for endurance is patience. And we're told in Galatians 5:22 that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. We could say endurance is fruit of the Spirit. But that's not our human nature. To have patience is not our human nature. We could say, "Give me patience and give it to me now." Or even if we look at our fast food industry, how if it takes us more than 30 seconds to get up to that box that has a clown looking at us to order our food, we're upset. Or if it's 30 seconds beyond that that we get our food, we're upset. Patience is not in our nature. Some had said patience is a virtue. There was a man shopping with his young son. And as he's shopping, he's pushing the cart and saying, "Patience, Albert. Patience. Patience, Albert. Patience." And a lady noticed all this and how he was just pushing the cart and saying, "Patience, Albert. Patience." And she came up to him and she said, I just got to tell you that I'm amazed at how much patience you have with little Albert." And he turned to her and he said, "Ma'am, I am Albert." Patience is not in our nature. But patience comes, as we look at our text, from God. Next, Paul mentions endurance, or encouragement. The scriptures that also say that scripture brings us this encouragement. It says it's also from God. God knows that we need encouragement every step of the way in our lives. If we're going into the ministry to get attaboys or pats on the back, we might think twice about going in. If we're going in to just look for encouragement from those around us, we might want to really think twice. Because we have to realize where our encouragement comes from. And our text today says it comes from God. For God will say to each and every one of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When we get impatient, when we get discouraged, it is usually when we lose focus on where our endurance and encouragement comes from. It's usually when we lose focus on our true purpose in ministry. Our purpose is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is where the unity of the Spirit comes in. That is where hope comes in. And that's the final word, hope. Paul mentions four times in our text today. When I was stationed in Texas as an Air Force chaplain, there was a civilian contractor next to my office. His office was next to mine. And as I got to know him, I discovered in his office that he had sketches of Vietnam POWs all over his wall. And as I got to know him, I asked him about those sketches, and I discovered he was a POW. So as I got to know him even more as the year went on, I finally got enough courage and asked him, what kept you going? What kept you going all those weeks, months, and years as a POW? And he said, hope. Hope kept me alive. He said, hope of one day being released. Hope of returning to my family. But then he said, most of all, hope in eternal life. Hope kept him physically and spiritually alive. And this is what Paul is writing about in our text today. Hope is a conviction. Webster lists seven definitions of hope, all centered on the idea of expecting some desire to be fulfilled. The hope Paul talks about is more than expecting some desire. It's being sure of the promise of eternal life. In verse 4, we read, the scriptures were written and preserved so that we could learn to have hope. In verse 13, we read, God is a God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we believe or trust in his promises, we in essence have hope. When we stop believing, we lose all hope. Our relationship with God of the God of hope comes through forgiveness he offers in the sacrifice of his Son. We are born again through our baptism in a living hope, a true hope. In the movie City Slickers, three men in a midlife crisis are searching to find themselves and their place in life. At one point, Mitch, who's played by Billy Crystal, turns to his boss towards the first of the film, the movie. He says, have you ever reached a point in your life where you say to yourself, this is the best I ever gonna look? This is the best I ever gonna feel? And this is the best I'm ever gonna do? And it ain't so great. Later in the movie, his friend makes a similar assessment. He says, at this point in life, where you are is where you are. It's sad that people really do feel this way. They feel that there is no hope. When I was a hospital chaplain in a small chapel just down the way from my office one day, I heard some crying, some sobbing. And I went to investigate, and I saw this young lady just full of tears. And I went up and I asked her, is there anything I can do? Can I help you? And she says, there is no hope. There is no hope. She says, I have been so bad in my past that God cannot ever, ever forgive me. Well, I told her there is hope, that God does forgive. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. She said, then, there is hope. There is hope, even for me. And as we continued to talk, she realized that the hope was in Christ Jesus. And as we continued to talk, there came a joy and a peace over her that wasn't there when I first walked into the chapel. That's the message we have for us today. That's the message we have for those around us. As we minister to those today and in the future, that there is hope. That there is hope. Hope in the promises of God. hope in the promise of eternal life, hope in the promise of forgiveness. This morning, may the God, and I like to say of all hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.